Yesterday we started learning about Shabbos. We said that Shabbos is what's called Yesod HaEmunah, the foundation of Jewish belief that Hashem created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. So basically, by keeping Shabbos, you are testifying to the fact that Hashem created the world. So now there's a number of interesting questions that come up that the Pasukim discuss. What happens if there's a person that the Goyim forced him to do of one of two things? Either to desecrate Shabbos or to eat non-kosher food. He has a choice. He either eats to desecrate Shabbos or eat non-kosher food. So simple logic would dictate, okay, Shabbos is such a severe sin, it's capital punishment, and treif is not so serious, it's only a lav, you know, it's not. But a lot of paskin, that the person should rather do chil Shabbos, forced, rather than eating treif. Why? Because if the person is working on Shabbos, we're going to get later into that when we do the malachas of Shabbos, there's this called, in halacha, malacha shein yitzricha l'gufa, work that you're not doing it for the same reason it was done in the Beis HaMikdash. For instance, I'll give you a simple example. Carrying, if I want to carry from my house to the street, the purpose of carrying is because I don't want the object in my house. I want the object in the street. Right? I want the object in the street. So what's the purpose of carrying? The purpose of carrying is to bring it to where I want it to be. If somebody, God forbid, carries out a dead body from their house because they don't want a dead body in their house, that's not the normal way of carrying. I'm not carrying it into the street because I want it in the street. I just don't want it in my house. So that's not the normal way of doing a malacha. So even though there's a machlekes in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim, or Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, if you're chayiv or potter, or it's only asim and rabbanan, the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, that it's only rabbinically forbidden. A guy that's forced to desecrate Shabbos, he's not doing the work on Shabbos because he wants to write or because he wants to... He's not doing it for that reason because he doesn't want to do it. He's forced to do it. On the other hand, when you eat non-kosher food, you're enjoying it. You're having hanah. So many poskim write that it's a hypothetical case nowadays, but it's very interesting that then it would be less of the evil to desecrate Shabbos forcibly rather than benefit from the treif of food, which is treif. Now, obviously, in both cases, the person won't get punished because he's forced. The question is, what is the lesser of the evils that the person should try to do? What?
We find shellfish, we find all these things gross. So based on what you just said...
First of all, people that eat it don't find it gross.
The person that's being forced, to him, that's...
Why would it be gross?
Okay, man.
I don't know. I mean, personally, I can have my feelings about it, but...
if your whole life...
I heard from a lot of Bali Tshuva that are now Chabad people that the biggest sacrifice when they went kosher was shellfish. Not cheeseburgers and not treif for meat. And the biggest test for them...
Been gross to you
okay, so we're not talking about that necessarily. It doesn't have to mean only shellfish. It could mean cheeseburgers.
Cheeseburger, yeah.
Okay. McDonald's. Yeah, it was... Okay.
But
also, what? What? Yeah, but from one, that's one side looking at it. But another side of looking at it is, bottom line is, this is desecration of Shabbos, which is capital punishment. And this is the eating treif for food, which was only a negative commandment. There's no capital punishment for eating treif. So again, logic would dictate it would be better not to desecrate Shabbos. But based on these reasonings, the halacha says it would be better to desecrate Shabbos because it's less of a forbidden thing.
Because it's not the
lechus machshavos. Right. It's the lechus chen tzrich l'gufa, which is not lechus machshavos. Okay, next. Yesterday we said if somebody desecrates Shabbos publicly, then he's mabish has a din like a guy. which means he touches your wine, it's no good. If he shechts, it's no good. The bread that he bakes is pasakum. Now, Kitzit says, what's the definition of Mechalel Shabbos for Hesia, publicly desecrating Shabbos? He does it in public. He's not embarrassed. He doesn't care. You know, even though people know about it. But again, as we mentioned yesterday, that only applies to people that are completely learned, went through the system, like they say, learned about Shabbos, knows all about Shabbos, and yet desecrate Shabbos, so then they might have a din like a goy. But most people today who never went to yeshiva, never learned, and never don't have a din of Mechalel Shabbos, according to 99% of the opinions, that's to what everybody paskens today. Well, by them, the big thing is Olam Haba. He doesn't have Olam Haba. He won't have Olam Haba. Such an Olam Haba, you probably... Such a, his Olam Haba, you probably don't want anyway.
I said already 200 years ago, some Sefer said, Tzimek
Shemishva is not. Okay, therefore, keeping Shabbos is a very great thing. It says, Ashri Anish yesterday, it's whoever... Like we said yesterday, that keep Shabbos properly is like they keep the entire Torah. And now, there's an interesting Shaila, okay, in Poskim, he doesn't bring down all the opinions they see here. There's an inyan of enjoying Shabbos. Now the Shaila is like this. Let's say somebody needs to have a bris in Shabbos. Okay, I'm not Poskim, you know, we're just discussing it. Somebody needs to have a bris in Shabbos. And, which means the moyel doesn't live nearby, which means the moyel would have to go leave his house, leave his family for Shabbos, and he won't enjoy Shabbos, and the family probably won't enjoy Shabbos the same way. Is he obligated to give up his enjoyment of Shabbos in order that somebody else should have a bris on the proper day? So it's a whole thing. Some poskim write the mechuyev is obligated to do it. Other people say he's not mechuyev to do it, especially if he has a wife and kids. And whatever. Basically, most poskim say he's not obligated to go for Shabbos if he doesn't want. It would be nice if he goes. But he has no halachic obligation to go for Shabbos if through that he's going to... What happens is a bigger problem. Sometimes you have a bris on Pesach. Somebody has a bris on Pesach, first day or second day, and there's no moyel anywhere in the area, and the moyel to come with his family for Pesach. Then he leaves the family for Pesach, and he has an obligation to be gadol to Levincha, to talk to the children. So then the halacha says you don't have an obligation to leave your family to go. Huh? So get it a day later. I'll tell you another interesting scenario that a lot of Rabbanim paskin today. There's no official Chabad ruling on this. The different Chabad Rabbanim say different things. And that is, what happens if you have a non-religious person that's going to be making a bris on Shabbos? Okay? We'll get a moyel. The moyel will come and do a bris on Shabbos. But at this bris, there's going to be a lot of Shabbos desecration. People will drive there. People will be taking pictures. People will, it'll be cooking there. It'll be a lot of Chilu Shabbos. So what's better? Is it better to push the bris off to Sunday and not to cause so much desecration of Shabbos? Or should the bris be on time, on the eighth day, if it was born naturally, not cesarean, then you don't do it on Shabbos. But if a kid's born naturally on Shabbos and the kid's healthy, so what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to make a bris? Or are you supposed to push off the bris to Sunday? There's a lot of Rabbanim today that rule, you should push off the bris to Sunday. Because there'll be a lot of desecration of Shabbos.
Desecration on Sunday too, though.
Yeah, but desecration of Shabbos, they're not desecrating Shabbos. That's the big thing.
So someone has to do something for themselves, and because it might cost someone else something, are they going to do it? And there, I have to hold back on what I have to do?
What do you mean? It depends. No, he's talking a non-religious person wants to make a bris on Shabbos. Yeah, if it's a religious person, they'll make sure there's no Chilul Shabbos. I'm saying a non-religious person.
A person can have a non-religious family.
Huh?
A person can have a lot of non-religious family members.
Yes, so he has to tell them not to drive. Yeah. Or if there'll be a lot, sometimes, that's what I'm saying. It's two opinions in halacha, of contemporary halacha. There's no Chabad ruling on this.
You could have a birth on Shabbos.
If the kid was born naturally and the kid was born on Shabbos and it's the eighth day. Yeah. That's only not cesarean, not anything else. It's a very big shalom. What do? Do you push off the bris, or do you make the bris anyway? It's a very interesting question, which is asked. The same thing, you have another similar question today. If a non-religious couple is going to get married, yeah, is it better to do a kosher chuppah for them, or is it better not to do a kosher chuppah for them? What's the question? I mean, everybody would say, of course, do a kosher chuppah. But there's a reason to say you shouldn't. And again, I'm not paskin. This is a big discussion in contemporary paskin. Because 50% of marriages get divorced today, right? Maybe more than 50%. But 50% of marriages get divorced. If they're not religious and they had a kosher chuppah, that means she's a biblical eshesish. She's a real married woman. Okay? The chances of them getting a kosher get is minimal, because they're completely not religious. So now the question is, what's going to happen? This wife will start living with somebody else or marry somebody else, and she'll be an Eish Yisish with kids running around Mam Zedim. Or do you, so therefore some poskim say, don't make a kosher wedding. Why? Because if a conservative reform wedding, a rabbi will do the wedding, it's not 100% kosher because there's no kosher witnesses. So at least the woman's not an Eish Yisish. So when she gets divorced, whatever years, a few years later, at least there won't be a problem of Eish Yisish. And there's, again, two opinions in halacha. What do you do? Do you look at it one way, you say, right now they need a kosher chuppah. What happened later, worry about later. Or do you say no? You look at the future. What?
If you're going to push off a bris because of this issue of to decrease the challah Shabbos, can you push it off 2 days?
No.
Have to do
Sunday? Every day that you're supposed to do a bris and you don't, you're transgressing the positive mitzvah in the Torah.
No, but I hear you, but you don't.
Same with opinion of Ben. When a kid needs opinion of Ben on the 31st day, every day you push it off I just had questions not long ago. There are places in the world, okay, cities, that you can't bring anybody from out of state, right? Or out of country. Yeah? So you have a city that doesn't have a mile. Okay? Now, the only mile is in a different country. Let's say a Canadian city or Mexico, whatever. Yeah?
Yeah.
And then Canada is not letting in a mile. So what do you do? What do you do?
You wait until they can...
You have no choice. You have to push off the bliss.
You have to push it out, yeah.
Yeah. So if you have no choice, you have no choice. The same thing. The same thing is... According to Halacha, according to Shulchan Aruch, according to Gemara, according to Shulchan Aruch, look, open Shulchan Aruch. God forbid, if somebody dies on the first day Yom Tov, you bury him through a guy. You bury him through a guy. If the funeral has to be second day Yom Tov, you bury him even through Jews. That's the Halacha in Shulchan Aruch. One second. That's the Halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Yeah? And by the way, in certain places, like in Monroe, and where they have the cemetery right there, they takas still do that.
They do what?
They'll bury on the first day Yom Tov and the second day Yom Tov.
What about carrying?
Hey, 1 minute. I'm talking about when
they don't use a guy, you're saying?
The first day you do it with a guy, and the second day you can do it with a
like,
not Shabbos. I'm not talking about Shabbos.
Okay, talking about Yom Tov. Like you said, Monroe. So they use the guy to do it?
Yeah, the second day. I mean, the first day.
First.
Second day, he didn't do it. In fact, there's a famous story. Reb Levick, the Rebbe's father, was once by the Rebbe Rashab. And he was discussing that the Baal Shem Tov passed away on the first day Yom Tov.
Right.
First day of Shavuos. So, question. First day, second day. But they ruled the first day. It was the first day of Shavuos. So, the Reb Levick said to the Rebbe Rashab, it's printed already, that L'chere, it's a wonder... That means the Baal Shem Tov was buried through a guy. Because halacha is, you don't push off a levaya, so you get buried that day. Which means, so the Blavik asked the Rebbe's father, asked the Rebbe Rashab, that means that the Baal Shem Tov was buried through a guy. So the Rebbe Rashab answered, he buried himself. that's the question answer, whatever that means, we'll leave it like whatever. Who covered us at me, like Moshe Rabbeinu. What?
This Miller question you brought up is very interesting. So what would happen today, somebody's in the middle of nowhere, where normally they have to fly a mile, every single day the baby doesn't have a bris.
No, but that's because you have no choice.
Understood, so why don't they go, if the mitzvah's on the baby, why don't they just go to the hospital and get it from a guy?
No, because it's not a kosher bris.
But if the bris is completed at
it's not a kosher bris. It's not a bris. Because you're not allowed to, it's not a bris.
Indeed, it's not.
So eat matzah and sukkahs. I mean, you can't.
So what if it's a Jewish doctor or something like that?
Yeah, but they don't do mitzitza, they don't do the cutting, they don't do anything right.
See, in this case, a crazy
you still don't do it. You put halacha says you push it, you have no choice to push it off.
Is it better to do it that way and then to do a dumb after?
No. Machachin, Machachin, somebody's remembering my name, Kim Shabbat.